Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here to help you out with your car questions or your car problems. You're welcome to call us anytime you want, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960 is the really easy number to get to. So for the next 2 hours, we're going to talk about car questions, car problems. My car's doing this. The shop says that. My transmission's out of warranty, but I've got a problem that I've had all during warranty. That's just a snippet of emails I've gotten in the last 24 hours. So nevertheless, mark@marksalem.com. If you're going to send me an email question, mark@marksalem.com. I usually check my email a couple times a day. If you leave a phone number, I'm going to have some questions to ask you, because that's what this show is all about. It's symptom analysis. And in order to have symptom analysis, we have to have a conversation. So I have a vibration. Okay, is it in the seat of your pants, all over the car, or the steering wheel only? Well, it's the steering wheel only. You see, that's kind of important. So in order for me to be close, and I'm told that I get close quite a bit, we have to have that conversation. What's not important is how many parts you've put in it, and a 3-minute dissertation about, you know, what you did and what the guy at the auto parts said and all that other kind of stuff. That doesn't interest me, because if the guy at the auto parts store was correct, you wouldn't be calling me. If the auto parts guy really had a good skill set for auto repair and symptom analysis, he wouldn't be working at the parts store. He'd be working for guys like me for lots and lots of money. So those are the kinds of questions and issues that I'm happy to address. If you want to argue, we can do that too. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We got a caller already?
Yes, we have Doug. He's calling in.
Oh, gosh darn it. Doug, good morning to you.
Yes, Mark, I have white spots on my tongue. And,
Wait,
you meant what's going on with my car?
Oh, your car. Yes, I probably should have said that. But let me ask you a question, Doug. I'm talking about a vibration in the seat of your pants or in the steering wheel. You must have missed that part.
Not with the use of rubberized asphalt.
The
ride should be smooth.
Okay. Well, folks, let me give you some history, because it's not nice to talk like this without telling you.
I know.
Doug Nitzel. I'm from the Department of Transportation, Highway Patrol.
It is the Arizona Department of Transportation, ADOT.
Oh, ADOT. Okay, and
for
Doug
the rest of this conversation
is the soothsayer of everything to do with highways and signs and all that kind of stuff. And we date back, I'm going to say 1988 to 1992.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Okay, and that's when we both started another station that's still in business and still a good station, and Doug did traffic, right? That's where you started?
Well, folks think that, and I was a jack of all trades.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it in my radio career, but mostly focused in the newsroom, as you know, because I was doing newscasts while you were talking on the air.
When I was learning,
if you remember that,
I'll tell you, and I'll tell everybody real quick, because Doug and I are going to talk about the freeways, and I'm going to run him through a test on the freeways. But 100 years ago, in 1988, I heard somebody on the other station, KTAR, we'll just call it what it is, and they were on Friday afternoon, and they were talking about cars. And I don't know why, but I called and I said, you know, instead of him thumping his chest all the time and telling everybody how great he is, I think he could be better. And the lady, who turned out to be Rosemary, said, well, do you think you can do a better job? And I said, yes, I can. That was a big mistake.
There was the history.
And then I went 2 hours on Preston Westmoreland's show, and I don't know how I did. You know, you don't know. And so they said, you want to do another one, and then you want to do a Saturday. And then I was with Michael Dixon, you'll remember him,
yes.
Lisa Millay, Jack Blair.
Yes.
And,
oh, boy.
And then I had to answer to Tazarak and some others. And it, so did you. And so for that's kind of how it got started. But I learned, I learned how to hit the mark by guys like you who would say something nice to the host who didn't hit the mark. And so, and I think our world, you'll agree, was in seconds.
No doubt about it. It was, you got to get it right to the top of the hour, and you've also got to get it right to the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
Timing is everything in radio.
And today, just so the people know what that means, I have to be out at 58 minutes and 50 seconds.
Right.
So not 58 minutes and 58 seconds, although sometimes I miss it. And Doug's talking about, so in Doug's world, it was even tougher than my world because he had a start and a finish, and he had to get everything in between the start and the finish, and he couldn't fudge the top, the front, and the back. Is that right?
That is. It's always interesting to think back on keeping one eye on a clock and the other eye on a script, something that you're reading, in terms of delivering the news. So, I wouldn't trade that radio career for anything. Those were such fun days. And I think you'd agree, hanging around a radio station. People talk to me all the time, what about that show WKRP? And I said, that show is actually very accurate. And there's something about radio stations.
I was brought into an area that I've never been before. I had to learn by watching the hosts that kind of walked me through, and then one day Taz calls and says, we're going to put you by yourself. And you'll remember those phone calls, no matter how studly you think you are, your ankles are shaking, your body's shaking, and you're looking for the closest bathroom when they tell you that. I can say that now, though. I couldn't say it back then.
Well, no, those were, yeah. But you did a great job over the years. And, I guess to this day, it continues. It's quite a record of accomplishment in terms of duration on the air.
Yeah, but Pat McMahon kicks my butt, and Preston Westmoreland kicks my butt.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other talk show hosts that have been longer. I don't know why I got where I got. I don't know why I ended up where I got. But I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a secret. There was a time when my mother called me. And my mother was an executive for the likes of APS, Occidental Petroleum. And she was really smart, and I love her. And she said, you sound like... And I said, oh, all of a sudden you're a radio expert? And she said, no, you sound really bad. She says, all you do is spend all your time thumping your chest and telling everybody how good you are. And I said, okay, so what's plan B, Mom? And she says, why don't you talk about their problems? And don't you have any friends in the city? I said, yes. She says, why don't you talk about them? She says, I think you'd just be better about talking about them. And that's how the best car repair shops got started. And she was absolutely right in every way, shape, or form. And we measure the success of the radio show by new customer acquisition and what's our acquisition cost. And you can imagine all that kind of stuff. But in reality, the bottom line has been, once I followed her direction, I've gone weeks, months, and I suspect quarters without saying the name of my shop. And really, I don't want to because it's not what the show's all about. But speaking of shows, I have a piece of paper here in front of me because we laughed about this last week. The Maricopa Freeway, I'm going to spot you the first one. The Maricopa Freeway, the Papago Freeway, and the I-10 are all the same road. Yes?
Is that a true or false?
Yeah, that's a true or false.
Yeah, that would be true.
Okay.
Although, I would just say I-10 is made up of freeways with certain names. And I assume you have been getting a kick out of the fact that does anybody really know where these different names apply?
We're going to get to that, buddy, because
okay.
You're the expert.
But, yes. Well, it is true that I-10, the Maricopa Freeway, and the Papago Freeway all are the same thing.
Okay. Now, is what part of it, because we're going to get to the 101 and the 202 and the 303, but is the I-10 cut into, is Maricopa described maybe from the Durango Curve north, or is it the east and west, or what is it?
You know, that, and that's an interesting thing to throw in just as we start talking about this, because it actually is true. The Maricopa Freeway actually does extend onto I-17 near Sky Harbor Airport. So the name Maricopa Freeway would be I-10 from down at the Loop 202 interchange.
2 minutes.
The Santan Freeway interchange in around the Broadway Curve and past Sky Harbor Airport, but that's where you get to the I-17 split. And you can continue on I-17 up to the Durango Curve, and all of that is considered the Maricopa Freeway, because then the Papago Freeway name would be from out in the far west valley. I'll let you choose what interchange out there, Broadway, something like that. But the Papago comes on in to the I-17 stack interchange through the Deck Park Tunnel, and then around the curve there at the State Route 51 junction. I'll let you tell me what that junction is in a little while. But that's where the Papago Freeway is. It actually ends then at the I-17 split near Sky Harbor Airport.
Okay.
Have we confused anybody yet?
No, we're doing fine. We're doing fine because you and I are pretty skilled at drawing pictures with our mouth. And so, you know, I followed you perfectly. So you said you're going to ask me what that intersection is. I think I know the answer to that, but I'm not sure. I think the stack is the I-10 and I-17 interchange. Would that be fair?
Correct. Closest to what local street would be near the stack?
Hold on. Van Buren to the north.
Yes. You did well. Well, Van Buren is just south of it.
Okay.
And what road leads to the fairground?
19th Avenue.
Right, but
21st Avenue?
Westbound. East and westbound. The Suns played in an arena known as the Madhouse on
McDowell. Yes. Thanks for spotting that for me.
There you go.
Okay. And so the mini stack. I think
got that right.
I think that's the I-10 and the 51 and the 202.
Correct.
Okay.
Slightly smaller, so thus called the mini stack.
All right. If you've got a few more minutes, I got to take a break.
Okay.
Stick with me.
I'm looking forward to it. Enjoying it.
Okay. So we're going to talk about the SR 202, where it starts and ends, which no one knows.
Yes.
Dunlap and something other street is the same street. Peoria and some other street are the same street. Glendale.
Well, you'll really throw me off on local streets.
That's okay. That's okay.
You know, because ADOT handles the freeway system.
Oh, and this is Doug worming out on his.
Yeah, exactly. I'll try my best if you throw something at me.
No, we're going to do this together. Nevertheless, you stay there. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about the freeways, and we're going to talk about all the different names. And so the 101 has a variety of names, so does the 202. So we'll talk about that, and hopefully we'll all get together and figure out this out together. We'll be back in a minute. Twenty-one minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark Salem, and we're talking to Doug Ninsel. And Doug is the traffic guy and the freeway guy for the Arizona Department of Transportation. And Doug and I have been friends since the late '80s, and we've worked radio together. And he knows his skill level on highways in Arizona. It far exceeds my skill level with cars. All right, I'm going to give you some true and false stuff. You ready?
Okay.
Dunlap and Oliver, the same street.
That is true.
Okay. Peoria and Deer Valley are the same street.
I've never seen that.
Okay.
I'm going to say false.
All right. I'll give you another chance at that. Peoria and Shea are the same street.
Peoria and Shea? No. I'm going to say false on that.
Okay, it's true.
No.
Okay.
Where?
All right, hold on. Glendale Avenue becomes what? as it goes east?
Glendale Avenue becomes Lincoln Drive.
Gosh darn it, you got that one. Okay, true or false, Jefferson becomes Washington, but they're the same street.
Yeah, and to the east of 24th Street.
Okay, yeah.
Did okay. I get that right?
Yes, you did. You did.
Okay.
I-17.
Can I throw one at you?
Oh, sure, sure.
Okay, here's one for you, Mark. What is the name of the freeway interchange where the Superstition US 60 comes together with Loop 202 out near Ellsworth Road?
That was a question I was going to ask you.
Oh, really?
I don't.
What is the name that's been given to that big interchange connecting the three freeways?
Which is the 202.
Bill's going to help you out.
Okay.
And, I could.
And Gil, just take him down and whisper in my ear, buddy. Gil, you're letting me down.
Super red time.
Super.
All right.
Red.
Here we go.
Okay. Spot me the last word.
Yeah. The tan.
Santan.
So, super red tan.
So, well, we were able to combine the names of all three freeways, Superstition, Red Mountain, and Santan freeways, into one name. The interchange is known as the Super Red Tan.
Oh,
which is
man.
Something I'm going to have come Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So, we try to get these things to catch on with folks. And I think quite a few folks listening out there know the name of that interchange, Super Red Tan. So the next time you're out there driving along, but you can impress Renee.
She is my navigator, and if I have her go to that interchange, we'll end up in Globe, buddy. So,
I was just looking to throw you off. So now go ahead and try to throw me off.
You did. I-17 has two basic names. I-17, what are they?
Well, earlier we talked about a section of I-17 still being known as the Maricopa Freeway.
Okay.
From the split on up to the Durango Curve.
Okay.
And then from the Durango Curve north, it's the Black Canyon Freeway.
Okay.
And at some point, I only know that I would say it transitions to a name, Black Canyon Highway, as you get, say, north of the Anthem area, because you go down to two lanes,
okay,
and it's more of a rural highway.
Okay, so, now, if I'm wrong, tell me, does the I-17, has it been ever called the Veterans Memorial Highway?
Well, now you're going to get me on, that does have that name.
Okay.
But that would be for the long stretch north of town.
Okay.
And I believe we also have given a name to I-10 as it crosses the state, again, honoring our veterans.
That's what I thought. I thought for sure that was an I-10 answer, but others have brought it up that it at one time and still is an I-17. But we know that Superstation is the US 60.
And I'm thinking I-10, and I feel bad that I actually haven't been asked that in a long time, but I believe I-10 is a Pearl Harbor Memorial Highway.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a good question to ask folks, and that is something I'm going to follow up on.
Okay. All right. I want to take real quick, I want to pretend that the 101 is a rectangular box. So we have a north, south, and an east, and a west. I guess my question is why can't we just call it the north 101 or the south 101 or the west 101 or the east 101? Go ahead.
You know, Mark, folks do that all the time. You know, they'll say 101 on the east side, 101 on the west side. But this would predate me being even at ADOT, because I know names were settled in on back in the 1980s with the really the creation of the freeway system when the voters were going to vote. There were names given. And the dividing point, there are some basic things where Allah Fria Freeway as a name for the 101 in the West Valley, again, the dividing point being I-17 up north, and then east of there it becomes the Pima Freeway by name. The Pima Freeway section extends through Scottsdale across the Salt River community, and it ends at the Loop 202 Red Mountain Freeway, where the name Price Freeway takes over. So south of the Loop 202 Red Mountain in Tempe, that stretch is known as the Price Freeway. So, trying to give, giving names to freeways really does involve at least giving people maybe some additional help. I know traditionally around the country, metropolitan areas have given names to freeways. I think of the Pasadena Freeway in the L.A. area. They have names of their freeways all over the place.
Okay.
But, there was a follow-on. It's really an effort to help. But again, somebody's calling something in. They're either going to say, hey, I'm on the Loop 101 on the east side. I'm on the Loop 101 on the west side. But we also, for example, with the Loop 202, it's, pretty close to, I think, 55 miles right now. And so stretching from near the downtown area north of US 60, the red, it's known as the Red Mountain Freeway. And then, of course, south of US 60, it would be known as the Santan Freeway. And that's just to give people, hopefully they are familiar with some of these names.
Okay.
And they can use that to their advantage.
That's what we're going to do. We already circled the 101, and, of course, the I-10's on the bottom. But we'll be back right after this. Four minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, Mark Salem, we're talking to Doug Menzel from the Arizona Department of Transportation, and we're just kind of sorting out the freeway stuff. So, Doug, I know I've probably held you up a little bit, but I appreciate you spending this time with me. But what I want to do is I've drawn a map, and so I want to go over just real quick on the 101. So the west side, and we'll forget about where it starts, and then just for the purpose of visual stuff, west side's called Agua Fria. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
About 20 miles worth of freeway west of I-17 down to the I-10.
Okay. Now, the north segment of the 101 is called the Pima Freeway.
Correct. North stretching into the East Valley through Scottsdale.
Okay.
On down to the Red Mountain Freeway, and hopefully folks know their 202 segments.
Right. Now, we're going to cover that in a minute. So then the north and south of the east side of the 101 is called the Price Freeway.
Well, from the Loop 202 Red Mountain there in Tempe, south through the US 60 interchange on down to the Loop 202 Santan Freeway. And that's stretching, last time I checked, about 10 miles worth.
Okay.
That's the Price Freeway.
Okay. All right. So where does the is the Santan like the east loop of the 202?
Well, the Santan, I would describe it more as the southern or southeast portion of the Loop 202. So from way out at US 60 near Ellsworth and Sossaman, that's where it becomes the Santan Freeway going south through there, goes around the corner near Power Road, and then comes on through Gilbert and into Chandler, and that's it makes its connection to I-10. Down there near Chandler Boulevard.
Okay.
So that's the Santan Freeway part of things. And then, the Loop 202 is actually going to be extended for another 20 miles around the back of South Mountain under construction right now, but that's still going to be part of the Loop 202 connecting to I-10 near 59th Avenue in Phoenix.
Okay.
And that'll be the South Mountain Freeway.
Okay.
And
okay.
So that'll really start throwing you off, Mark.
No. That one is for it. That one's for the trucks to get them out of Central Phoenix. So as they're coming kind of north, but really it's west, but coming north into the town on the I-10, they can jump off on the 202 and they can take that western and then northern loop and pop out at 59th Avenue and that saves the congestion within the city, which is something I experience every morning on the westbound I-10 all the way from, as you well know, from Chandler Boulevard and the 202 interchange all the way north past Broadway all the way through to the airport. So,
and that'll be, yeah, and it'll be a mix of, obviously there are commuters who are going to be benefiting, you know, they're in the East Valley and they're going to save a lot of time being able to get to the West Valley, and connect to I-10. But you're right, that takes traffic, that doesn't need to travel into the downtown Sky Harbor Airport region. And that traffic is going to be able to use the South Mountain Freeway to connect to I-10 in the West Valley, obviously vice versa from the West Valley, connecting to the East Valley as well.
Okay. The 51, Piestewa Peak?
Well, Piestewa Freeway is, we didn't put the peak on there as a name, didn't extend that out, but, yes, in honor of, well, there was the name change for the mountain, and so Piestewa was a name change for the freeway as well.
Okay.
And in its own way, it does honor Lori Piestewa.
Yes. Yeah, and it used to be called, not to confuse anybody, it used to be called the Squaw Peak Freeway.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the 303, which goes from the I-10 all the way up to the 60 or Grand Avenue, which is a shortcut for me to go to Las Vegas.
Correct. And usually Loop 303, most people still refer to it as simply Loop 303.
Okay.
There are a couple of names associated with that, in that Maricopa County at one time had jurisdiction over the highway, and they went ahead with a name dedication, Bob Stump Memorial Parkway, at the time. But it's also been known over the years, dating back to 1980s, as the Estrella Freeway.
Okay. I think I'm going to write that down. I'm building a map.
Okay.
And I'm going to post it on Facebook but it's coming to you first, so you can kind of help me massage it.
Okay.
But that'll just be something interesting. I think people will take a snapshot with their telephone and then they'll have it. But I like the idea. I expect the Department of Transportation and the police departments to be able to accommodate the West 101 or the East 101 or the North or the South. I expect that, and I when I hear you say that, that's what we're supposed to do. So
I think if you ever had an issue, hey, I've broken down on Loop 101, 911 dispatchers, operators are certainly trained to be able to work with someone to know, are you in the are you in the East Valley, or are you in the West Valley, and hopefully you know the answer.
If you don't, and we have to wait a little longer to get to you, then it's your fault. Alrighty, Doug, thank you very much. Thank you. On behalf of Gil and I both, thank you very much
for
clearing this
up. Mark, we appreciate, and if you ever want to refresh memories. Hey, I was going to say real quick.
Okay.
We have the ADOT Alerts app available to folks. I just want to mention it real quick. You can go to the ADOT website and learn all about it, but that is something where we now are able to give information to folks right there on the mobile phone. If there's a crash on I-17 up north and you're in that region, you have the ADOT Alerts app, you're able to get that information about it, maybe make some plans for an alternate route. So we want folks to know that there is an ADOT Alerts app, and you can go to our webpage, azdot.gov, or just look up Arizona Department of Transportation, and you can learn more about getting that ADOT Alerts app on your phone.
And just on a side note, we both have that, Renee and I. And when they had the fire up north, Renee was heading north, and she got the thing that said the 87 is closed.
Right.
So she called me, and she says, what do you want me to do? And I said, well, just let me look real quick. And then I called her back, and I said, now, don't forget, the 87 goes through Payson, joins the 260, goes up on the rim, and the 87 goes north, and the 260 goes to Camp Verde. It's up north, south of the 40 that's closed, up on the rim. So I said, you should be smooth sailing from the Beeline Highway to Payson. But we both have that app, and it's really good for us because we're going from Payson Tempe, and then we're going from Payson to Camp Verde, and some Payson to Flagstaff, and to Happy Jack. So we got business, and so it's nice for us. So I would say folks, if they're traveling anywhere, it's a nice app, and it's not an intrusive app, and you don't sell advertising, and I like that.
No, it's a free download. Don't worry about anything like that.
Okay.
Just check it out through the ADOT website. You can learn how to, get that onto the phone, and it is a big help, and thanks for mentioning that it's been helpful to you. I think you should get back to the job of helping folks with their cars.
And I'm going to, but thank you for spending your Saturday with me. I asked for the A-plus guy, and they gave me what I asked for, so thank you very much.
I appreciate that. It's great to catch up with you, Mark.
Thank you very much, Doug. And that's Doug Nentzel from the Arizona Department of Transportation, and we're going to take a break and be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and the DOT is not going to tell you, but it's pull off to the side. I think, what was it, Gil?
Pull aside, stay alive.
Pull aside, stay alive, and lights out. And the reason why they want the lights out is the explanation they give you is because people will see your taillights and think that you're leading the pack. So that keeps you alive, too. So
that helps.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Okay, Wes, thank you for holding. I'm all yours. Tell me what you got.
Okay, I have a 95 Chevy S10 with a 4.3 V6 that I transplanted into a 76 Chevy Love, and it's taken me like 5 years to get this far. I got a brand new wiring harness from Ron Francis, and I had to pull the distributor out to get the engine in, and I think I got it put back in wrong because I can't get it to fire. It's got fuel and spark, and I followed the procedure in a Chilton manual about rolling the engine up on the compression stroke on number one, and then the rotor should be pointing towards the tower, number one cylinder tower, but I can't get it to fire.
Okay. All right. If you've done step one and step two right, I would say that you're going to pull the number one spark plug out of it, and I would say you'd have somebody tap the key, and I would say that when it starts blowing your thumb off the hole, you're on the compression stroke. And then I would say you take a wrench on the crankshaft pulley and you bring the timing mark around to zero. So the timing mark is at zero. Then you drop the distributor in to where, and you make sure that the wire on the cap on number one is going to the where you just took the spark plug out. So you have to make sure they're tied. Then you're going to set the distributor in, and you're going to plug the distributor in. And to know that you're right, you're going to take the spark plug wire off number one, put a spark plug in it, set it on the manifold, and the key is on. You're not cranking, though. You're not cranking. And you're going to take the distributor, and you're going to swing it left and right about an inch. Left an inch, right an inch. And you're going to see it go, and you're going to see it snap. You're going to see the spark. As the rotor goes by the number one, it's going to be snapping. Set the distributor where it snaps. Lock it down for right now and start it up. Guaranteed.
Okay.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah. And what you're doing is you're verifying that you've set it to number one by swinging the distributor back and forth. It's going to snap, 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 snap. And so you know you're on number one. And if you don't start it and it doesn't backfire or get running, then after you get it running, you're going to just advance the distributor just a little bit. It's probably 6-8 degrees on the flywheel or on the harmonic balancer, and that's about it. So I that's how I would do it, and that's how we do it in the real world. Okay.
All right, I'll give her a shot.
And if you have a problem, mark at marksalem.com. I will do my best to walk you through it again. If you have any questions, give me your phone number and we'll talk about it, okay?
All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Wes. Thank you. Matt, you're up next. Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Well, actually, I was hoping to talk to Doug Nentzel.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just tell me the question, not that I can answer it, but...
Well, I just wonder who the idiot is that figures out some of these traffic-like sequences. I'm out here on the west side, no traffic around, and you'll be passing underneath, and you want to make a left-hand turn, and you can't make a left because there's a red arrow, and there's no car visible within 3 miles.
Yeah, I used to be a policeman, and I'll tell you what I think the answer is. There's lots of intersections, and I can tell you in Scottsdale for sure, there's lots of intersections that are controlled by sensors in the pavement, and that's what you're kind of looking for. But I can assure you, Scottsdale and McDowell, Scottsdale and Thomas, Scottsdale and Camelback, Scottsdale and Bell, they don't have those in this. They're timed. They're all timed.
Yeah. And well, so, there's also a number of intersections, like specifically the 101 in Indian School here on the west side. You can't make a right on red, yet you have great visibility.
Yeah.
And traffic backs up halfway down the ramp at times because no one can make a right. And the light, when it does turn green, is much too short.
And I'm with you. I know that as in the ones that I'm at, which is I-10 and Chandler, Ray, Warner, Elliott, there's a lot of them that have no right turn. And as a former policeman, I'm not going to stick up for Doug because he's a big boy. But I can tell you that on each one of those, when I'm the number one car, I can't clearly see the eastbound, what we call the number two lane. Not the one closest to the center line, but the number two lane. I can't see that. So if that car's ripping across the freeway and I pull out in front of him, then I'm going to be in trouble. But yeah. That's all I can offer you.
I've tried to call ADOT about that, but I think the person who sets up these signals doesn't exist because I never could find them.
Yeah, and I think some of those signal setups are the city within the intersection, and it depends on if the sensors are on Indian School or if they're on the freeway. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm sure you can find Doug Nitzel's email address on the Department of or contact and say, I have a question for Doug, but he'll help you. And he's a nice guy. And thank you. Thank you for holding as long as you did, and I think you bring up some really good questions. George, you're up next. How can I help you?
George had to go, and we have Hector. He's next.
Okay. Hector, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, good.
My parents have a Mercedes, an old Mercedes E350.
Okay.
And the passenger side blows cold air, but the driver's side blows warm air, and I've never heard of that or dealt with anything like that. I want to help them get that taken care of. I just wanted to hear your thoughts before I try to tackle something like that.
Yeah, that's something. I want to tell you something. There's half of the staff in my shop has the capability, and the other half I'm not going to give that job to. And on a 1 to 10 scale, that's a 9. That's going to be a 9, but I can explain it to you.
Oh, wow.
We're going to send cold air, and in the old days we sent cold air to the left, the right, and the center across the dashboard. But now we have climate control, which is all computerized, and so the question is on the left side, do we have that set too hot? Do we have it set too cold? Or do we even have control of the door that either feeds that vent hot air or cold air? And is the door defective? Is it stuck open, stuck closed? Or is the command bad? So it's just, this is what it's like. Your wife's driving, and you're in the passenger seat, which I know never happens to none of us, but let's just pretend it does. So the wife is hot because she's always hot or she's always cold. So she turns on the heater on her side. And, of course, you're mad because she's got the heater going and you want yours at Mach 30 below zero. So with climate control the way it is today, we can accommodate both of you. So, like I said, this isn't an easy one. What part of town do you live in?
Santa Valley.
Oh, gosh. You're halfway across the world. I want to tell you something. There's a Mercedes shop in Scottsdale called Goodies. And I'm a good domestic car guy and foreign car guy, but he makes me look like a second grader when you start talking about the Benzes. I mean, this guy is just a wizard. I think you should call Goody, and I think you should be respectful of his time. And I think you should say E350 and give him a year or two. And I got hot air on the driver's side and I got the cold air on the passenger side. Now, here's what he knows. The cold air means that compressor's working. The cold air means that we are sending cold air to that vent because we're asking for cold air in that vent. And so that'll help him because you've given us information that you don't understand how important it is to us. But say to him, this is what I got. Do you have anything? And you're going to hope, he says, I want you to open and close the glove box 3 times, honk the horn 2 times, and that's a reset, and see if that makes a difference. Now, I'm making fun of it, but it's that kind of stuff. He'll say, crawl underneath the dash, and there's a black line with a red stripe on it, and I want you to disconnect that line and tell me if it's got vacuum to it. Now, he's not going to walk you through this repair, but he's going to give you a tip or two. And you're clear across town from where he's at, but I don't know anybody else. Now, there is a Tempe import.
I can find that information on your website, right?
Yeah. Well, not Goody, you can't, because Goody's too busy. He says to me, I'd love to be on your best car repair shops list, but he says, the last thing I need is more business. And I said, I understand that. I can still tell people. Now, there's Tempe Imports, and that is on our internet, and Joel has that store, and he's at McClintock and University just north. And so he's in Tempe.
Okay.
Be a little closer. Call Joel and talk to him, or call Goody, and that'll help you out. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're more than welcome. This portion, speaking of the good car repair shops, is brought to you by two shops. Larry Harker's Autos at 38th Avenue and Indian School, been around since 1967. He knows what he's talking about. Ellen runs the front. That's his wife. He runs the back. I've sent him cars that nobody else could fix, and he has a magic wand. But he's not too proud to tell you he can't find it or fix it. And he might give you some ideas on what to look for. So if you're anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School and you need it from oil change all the way to my car horn honks when I turn on the right turn signal, anything in between those, then you can go see Bob at Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Now, also on the west side is S&S Tire and Auto Service. 3 locations, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear. And what I like about them is they have so many tires that if you go in, you can say to them, I'd like a bid for good, better, best. Otherwise, you're saying to them, I want your cheapest, your most expensive, and something in the middle. They'll give you a price that you can write your check before they start. And they'll describe the differences in the quality of all 3 of those tires. So I don't care if you need a wheelbarrow. I don't care if you need a tractor tire. S&S on the west side, Peoria, Surprise, and Goodyear, they can handle all of that for you. 602-508-0960. We've got another hour of car talk. We were talking to Doug Netzel from the Arizona Department of Transportation trying to get the freeway situated. But we're back to cars. So you're more than welcome to call 602-508-0960. I want to remind you that I'm on Facebook, Salem Boys Auto or Mark Salem. I don't do politics. I don't help you with your marital problems. I'm not interested in commenting on stuff on the internet or stuff in the public arena about stuff that's political or, you know, start a discussion. I'm not interested in that kind of stuff. I talk about cars. The reason I talk about cars is because my wife and my daughter won't. I have to send everything to them first. Because they say, we don't want you in politics. We don't want you talking about, you know, who said what and why where. And they're right. I'm a car guy. So we talk about cars. I make posts about cars. I talk about stuff that I think people are interested in. For instance, the other day I said it's a bad idea to trust your tow truck driver to refer to you to a shop because today, like the 50s and 60s, we're starting to see the shops spiffing the tow truck driver. So he's more interested in the money for the spiff than he is finding a good shop for you. So that happens sometimes, and it seems to be growing. So my suggestion to you is get on your phone and find an auto repair shop that's got 4 or 5 stars in the close area you're at. So I'm not disparaging tow truck drivers. I'm just telling you, I think it's a bad idea to let them pick your shop. And I tell my mother, don't ever let them pick your shop. And so you can do whatever you want because I don't care. But Facebook, if you want to join us, we also have Instagram. And I'll tell you what's Instagram is kind of cool. My daughter posts stuff like, here's a broken motor mount and here's a brand new one side by side. So it's kind of cool to see what they look like. Here's a rotor that's way too thin and here's a brand new one. You can see the difference. Here's a radiator that's plugged solid with debris, and here's the new one we put in. So
1 minute.
The guys are really good at getting my daughter Andy and her camera, and we had one the other day. The lady complained that there was no airflow coming out of her vents, but the evaporator core, which is the cold radiator behind the glove box, had a mat of animal hair that was a half an inch thick. So we had to pull it out. Well, actually, we put a new one in just because we couldn't get all the trash out of the old one. But she came back and she said she really was happy with our work, but she said the air that's coming out of there is like a tornado compared to the way it was before. And I said, what you got to do is you got to stay out of recirculatory, and you got to stay in normal as long as you got the animal and lots of hair in the car. And she says, I understand. And she said, thank you for that tip. So there's a reason we offered that tip, and we're happy to discuss it. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We have another hour of Car Talk. We're here every Saturday from 10 o'clock to noon. I had to think about that. Gil's our engineer. He'll be handling the call. We'll be back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about car repair problems and stuff like that. And I'm going to take you as fast as I can take you. The lines, I got four open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And for you ladies that are scared to call in, this is how you do it. Good morning, Mark. My husband says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and he says, this is what's the matter, and this is, and so that's how we started. Even though you don't even have a husband, we're going to blame it on your husband. So we can manipulate that, right, Gil? And we can manipulate that however you want.
No, but you're the boss, Mark.
We'll help you out. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones because Chris has been waiting. Chris, thank you for holding. What can I do for you?
Hey, Mark. Thank you for your 20 years of helping Valley out with your show. I have an 05 Murano, and my driver's side door is not locking or unlocking with my key fob. The Murano only has a key lock unlock on the driver's door, and a new actuator is right around $600 plus labor, parts, you know, text, and everything else. I was wondering if I should just go to a junkyard and try to get a door from a car that has the same actuator and try to get a shop to put it in.
There's a couple of options, and that is one. That certainly is one. But I'm kind of worried for you. I'm kind of scared for you.
Right.
Because it's not uncommon for us to get in there and be able to fix it after you've already bought the used part or the new part.
Gotcha.
Second of all, I would think that you could, you're probably pretty computer literate, and I think that if you do a little bit of Googling, you can probably find the original equipment part number for the passenger front door lock.
Okay.
And once you have that part number, you can Google that part number, and you'll find some aftermarket parts. And don't forget that just because it's in a Ford or Chevrolet box, there's no such factory that makes Ford and Chevrolet and Chrysler and Toyota and Honda and Nissan and all. They don't make parts for those. Every single part of your car was built by the lowest bidder. So there's lots of places out there. Every Ford pickup truck since 2010 has a Hitachi parts on it, and it has Denso parts on it, and it has parts from, and it's built Ford Tough in the United States. Yeah, okay, well, the truck's assembled here, but everything comes from offshore. So in your case, now, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Does it work intermittently ever?
Yes.
Good. So if you could take it to a shop and say, look, I just want you to pull the door handle off. Now, there's two wires to it, and all we're doing is reversing the polarity to lock and unlock it. And that's done off the master switch over on the driver's door. So what we want to do is take the door panel off, and would you do two things for me? Number one, would you see if the signal's there, and we're you know, the lock and unlock signal. And if it's a good shop, he'll know exactly what the heck you're talking about. And number two, would you be so kind as to take the wooden handle of a hammer and just kind of hit that thing and see if you can get it to work? Because if he can hit it and get it to work, then you'll know where it's at. And sometimes you can just kind of hit the door panel, right? Not enough to dent the outside of the door. I'm saying on the inside of the door. Just hit it, because what's happening is the brushes aren't hitting the armature because they're worn out. And so... Now, sometimes you can take the motor apart, like I do because I'm cheap, and I put some cardboard behind the brushes and push them up against the armature and blow all the dust out of it and all that other kind of stuff. But I think there's a lot of options other than your very expensive part. I want to tell you something. With a little bit of research, we found a water pump the other day for a 49 Packard. And I have the most amazing parts guys in the whole wide world, and I can challenge the heck out of them. And I'll even open that door. You got a pencil?
Sir. Yeah. One quick question. Yeah.
Okay.
My body is not able to climb over from the passenger seat to the driver's seat. Should I one day not be able to get that latch to unlatch on the driver's side? But it does work with the key. So,
okay, now
but
wait
I'm
a minute.
Just concerned.
Okay, it works with the key. Oh, okay, you can manually lock and unlock the door. So why can't you just drop the window down, grab the key, stick it out there, and unlock it from the outside without crawling over the seat?
Oh no, I could. If I'm sitting inside, I'm all golden.
Okay.
If I'm outside is when I have the problem.
Okay. It's good that you can manually open and close it with the key because that tells us the mechanism's good. Here's my fear. You're going to buy an expensive motor, and then it's going to be the master switch on the driver's door, which is the switch that gets used all the time and the very most. So that's why I said first, let's check to see if the signal's being sent. If the signal's being sent on a consecutive basis. Now, if most shops are going to say to you, listen, Chris, just take the door panel off and let's just, you know, I'm going to put two lights. I'm going to hook up two stupid lights here. And every time you lock and unlock it, I want to see if the light, I don't care, one of them's going to light or the other one's going to light, depending on whether you're going to lock it or unlock. And or I'm going to give you your own piece of wood, and you can slap the stupid motor and all that kind of stuff. Because the real question is again, is the signal being set from the master switch? And is it getting there? And then if it's getting there, then obviously the motor's not affecting the action. So we have to diagnose it. Otherwise, you're going to spend a whole lot of money guessing, and you're going to be really mad.
Right. It's not worth $1,000 for a $3,000 cart.
Yep. And you know what else? It's entirely possible that somebody could probably hook something up on that side there with a piece of wire or something where you can lock and unlock the stupid thing manually. I mean, that's a MacGyver kind of thing. That's an old cowboy kind of thing. But us gray-haired guys have done that before.
Right. Yeah, I don't drive a real lot due to body condition of me.
Yeah, I understand.
But you were going to give me a number for parts or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you have permission, and I'm going to tell him that you can call him, but I'm going to tell him your name, and we're going to talk about just this. Because if
gotcha.
I give you the number, I don't want him flooded. That's
okay,
not the
you
point.
Can even give it to Gil and then have Gil give it to me.
No, I'm going to give it to you. I'm just going to tell. I'm going to tell Jeff that it's. Yeah, I'm going to tell Jeff it's Chris and it's a Murano. And we're talking about a door lock. But anyway, 480-598-1234. Ask for Jeff. Hold on, or Sean. Jeff or Sean.
Okay.
And Mark told me you'd look to see if there's an aftermarket door lock cylinder or even a master switch for my year Murano.
Okay.
Okay? And then here's my phone number. Do it at your convenience and call me back. That's what he's going to do. Okay?
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your help. Have a great day.
Same to you. Thank you very much. My best car repair shops list is important to me, and only the people that are on there, they're the very best. I promise you. I know the owner. I know his wife. I've been to their shop. I've referred hundreds, if not thousands, of people to them, and I'm real cognizant of the responsibility in that. So I don't take that responsibility lightly. So I want you to know that these guys are exactly who I'd send my mother to. And I'll give you a good example of that. Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa has been around. He's three generations deep. And this shop has been around since 1970. But it's at a different location and a newer location. And Brian and Thelma are the ones that run it. My mother lived in East Mesa. And I told her, you're not going to drive all the way to Tempe for an oil change. Just go to Brian's. So it's that kind of a relationship, but Thompson's is a great place. Now, it's the only shop in Mesa that's passed the criteria or applied. Now, there's been many have applied, but many of them don't have the criteria. But Thompson's is a good guy. He's on Main Street, just east of Stapley on the south side of the road. You only have to meet Brian and Thelma to know why I think that they're such fine people and they do such really great work. So that's Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing on Main Street, just east of Stapley. Gil, we got anybody? 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960.
Lines are open.
Lines are wide open. So I do want to tell you about when you're taking your car in, ladies, oftentimes your husband's going to tell you what to tell the shop or how to fix it. I know that you know that that's a bad idea. So do your best to just give us the symptoms. And if you don't know the symptoms, just ask him what you can look for. And that's the information we need transferred to us. So many times people diagnose their own work and it creates a problem. And the shop's job is to sift through that. So it's just tell us how to make it happen. Tell us when it happens. Now, sometimes folks, and I'm speaking for all repair shops, sometimes it's this kind of a conversation. We've really driven your car 20 miles. I've had three different people drive it. We've tried it fast and slow, left and right, AC on, AC off, you know, 10 miles an hour, 60, 70, 5 miles an hour if there's a freeway close by. We've done that, and we can't find it, and we can't get it to happen. So you just have to wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or plan B is this. Once it happens, you have to figure out how to make it happen. So you have to make it happen. Not too long ago, we had a lady that had this noise, and she came in and she said to us this, I travel the freeways a lot, and if I make a sweeping right turn above 55 miles an hour, there's this yig-yig-yig-yig noise. But if I make a sweeping turn to the left, the noise is not there. Do you know how much money she just saved herself in diagnostic fees? That's assuming that some gray-haired guy's there and been around the block, or some really experienced one highly educated young man or woman who's been around the block a few times. Because that kind of a gimme, I'm just telling you right now, she has a bad wheel bearing. I'm just telling you. She says on a right turn, it's yeah. Well, it's going to be the left outer or the right inner. Now, when she goes the other way, we lean the car the other way. So on the right turn, we're going to load the left outer bearing and the right inner bearing because you have two wheel bearings in the front of your car. Then we're going to ask her, is the front and the rear or the back, because that'll tell us about the back. She just saved herself $100, at least at my shop, $100 worth of diagnostics. All we got to do is go drive it now. Verify it, and then we're going to find out which bearing it is, then we're going to replace it, and then we're going to go drive it again. The noise is gone. Boom, we're done. That's what good shops do. There's plenty of them in town. Plenty of them in town. So the real key here is give them the symptoms, and even better yet, tell them how to make it happen. And if they want, make sure you have enough time to say, I'm not going to take your technician for a 30-minute ride, I promise, because we hate that. I'm going to take them around the block, and I'm going to show them how to make the noise, and I'm going to get out, and then we're going to switch, and he's going to drive it and make the noise, and then he's going to drop me off, and I'm going to get the heck out of Dodge, and you call me with an estimate. That's what we want to happen. You show us, and then we want to take the steering wheel, and we want to make sure we can make it happen. So that saves you money, and that's the whole purpose of this program is to give you ideas how you can dovetail into my repair industry, an industry that I'm a part of, and to save you some money, and also to make us heroes, because we're going to look really good, and we're going to diagnose it and fix it, and you helped us. And then you're rewarded by that, because your diagnostic fee is in half now, or it's 25% of what it would have been. So that makes a big difference. 602-508-0960. All five lines are open. It's 17 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. We'll be back. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. We're talking about car repair. We're talking about what kind of tires I should buy. We're talking about this is what my shop said I needed. What do you think about that? And that's one of the things I wanted to tell you, too, is when you're told that you need a repair, and typically it's expensive, the default question is this. What symptom are you going to fix with your suggested repair? And if you hear a whole bunch of this, you know they don't know. You see, every single time we want to sell you something, there should be a symptom. I'm going to fix the oil leak on the ground. Your car pulls to the right. I'm going to fix that. Every time you come to a stop, there's a clunk, and every time you take off, there's a clunk. Yes, there is. When you hit the brakes, doesn't the steering wheel shake? Yes, that's what I'm going to fix. That's what good shops say. Here's your symptom. Here's the fix. we noticed it on the test drive, or we found it because you sent us in that direction. That's what it's important. What symptom are you going to fix that I have today that with your suggested repair that cost $1,100, whatever. Anyway, let me talk real quick about two repair shops that are on my list, and they're on opposite sides of the valley. Auto Dynamics is in Sun City, the largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. Family owned and operated since 1982. Chuck, the dad, opened it, and now Derek, the son, is running it. They have high quality service, and they stand behind the work that they do. And at Automotive Dynamics, their staff and their mechanics are not paid a commission or a percentage of the repair bill. Therefore, they can ensure you don't sell, you're not sold unnecessary parts or repair. Auto Dynamics is on the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. I've known Chuck since the mid-60s. I know the family. I know they're going to treat you fairly. On the other side of town, way far away, we've got Action Auto Repair, and they're at I-17 and Deer Valley. And I've known Tom since the late 70s and early 80s. So he's a good guy. He knows right from wrong. He knows how to diagnose cars. And more important, the shop owner knows how to say, I can't find it. We need to wait till it gets worse. Or, I've looked at what you asked me to look at, and you don't need that. I don't want to fix that. There's no towing truck that you're going to need because this goes bad. I don't want to spend that much money on your car. But you can if you want, but I'm telling you, this is not something you need. Action Auto Repair has been around since 1983. No matter what your repair needs are, an oil change all the way to a complete air conditioning compressor replacement, a transmission replacement, everything in between an oil change and that is what they're capable of. So if you live near I-17 in Deer Valley and you don't have an auto repair shop, may I suggest that you try Action Auto Repair. Good place, good honest place. All righty, let's go to the phones. And Joanna, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Yes, Mark, I have a 2006 Kia Sorento, and I'm driving down the street at 45 miles an hour, and the engine cuts out. So I had the car towed to a repair shop, and the gentleman changed everything he thought that was wrong. And 3 days later, he called me and told me he didn't fix the problem. He couldn't find it. But he thought it was in the computer and that I needed to take it to the dealership, which I really don't want to do. So do you have any suggestions?
Geez, Joanna, you should have called me. How much did he charge you?
He actually didn't charge me anything because he couldn't fix the problem.
Okay. Okay, well, I was expecting a different answer that would be in the thousands of dollars, but I'm happy.
Yeah, that's what he said about the dealership. Probably $1,000 or $2,000.
You know what, though? I don't like that. I don't like that. Joanna, I'm not talking to you. I would say to him, let me get this straight. You've decided to crap all over the dealer, but you can't fix it. You've decided to disparage the dealer and to warn me about how they're going to rip me off and that they can't fix my car either and blah, blah, blah. But you can't. So you're going to guide me when you can't even fix it yourself? I don't think that's right. I don't like that. And if I heard somebody say that at the front counter in my shop, they'd be unemployed before they got the last word out of their mouth. Okay? Let's look at this seriously. Okay? On a 1 to 10 scale, this, to at least analyze the problem, is a 2. Because if it dies, it's going to die because of spark or fuel. That's the only two variables that will come and go. So, he can spend lots of money dancing around all that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to give you a free fuel pump and tell you, never mind, because I just gave you $500 worth of work and part that could easily be between $500 and $1,000. So, I mean, I run a fuel pressure test, and hopefully it shows a minimum that's below the minimum. There's lots of stuff I can do, but if I give you your car back, then I'm going to arm you with things. Now, Joanna, I want you to keep the tank between 3/4 and full, and I want to know if it happens on a regular basis. Obviously, he didn't ask you, when it dies, how long does it take before it starts back up? Answer that.
Okay.
I'm asking you.
Usually, when it dies, sometimes we can get a jump and it will start, and other times it won't.
Wait a minute. In order to have a jump start, you mean when you hit the key, nothing happens?
Nothing happens.
Nope.
It'll try to start. I take that back. So it will try to start, but it won't.
Okay. When it tries to start, there's two different possibilities. You have to pick A or B. A is it goes, and then when I jump start it, it goes, which one?
A.
Okay. So it's dragging the starter, and it's going, rrr, rrr, rrr. But when you jump start it, then all of a sudden it starts right up. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yes.
Okay, it sounds like a battery to me.
I had the battery checked.
Okay,
the alternator checked.
I had it started. That's fine. Did you have the same guy do all that?
No.
Did you go to the auto parts and have that done?
Okay, yes. I took it to the auto parts store first.
Okay.
And they tested the alternator and the starter and the battery. Okay.
They wouldn't have a clue. The equipment they used, we used in the 70s. So the equipment everybody else uses that does this for a living is in the thousands. Plus, you have to interpret what you're looking at. So we apply the load, but it has to be the right load to the battery. It can't be too high or too low. And if I wanted to steal from you, I would simply raise the load and make your battery fail. But in reality, you hope that we treat you fairly. So I suggest that this might be a battery starter problem, and I suggest you pay the $25 to $50 to have somebody else check your car and give them the symptoms that we talked about. It dies, it drags the starter, it cranks over real slow. Then if we put jumper cables on it, it cranks over fast and it starts right up. And then the next time it happens, this is what happens and this is what we do. And sometimes I walk away and I come back and it's fine. That kind of helps us, because if you walk away and come back, it's probably the starter. But if you walk away and come back and you still need a jump start, it's probably a battery. Now, it could be an alternator, but once the alternator drains the battery, then it ain't going to start with a jump start. So we have all these things that are walking around. All right, stay right there. I'm going to have more to tell you at the other side of this break. 602-508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here talking about cars. You're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Automatic Transmission Exchange has been in Phoenix since 1968. Phil has been there with it. Phil and his staff are transmission diagnostic experts. They do everything from oil leaks to adjustments to replacements and repairs and everything in between. But you're not going to go there and find out that everybody there in the lobby needs a brand new transmission. You're also not going to hear them guess about your car. They're good enough to tell you what's the matter with it in a very short period of time. So he's on 40th Street in Washington, the north side of the road. So if you live in central Phoenix or anywhere in Phoenix for that matter, then Automatic Transmission Exchange, we call it ATE, and they're on 40th Street in Washington. Give them a call. They'll drive your car for you. They'll drive it with you, and you can show them what you're talking about. Automatic Transmission Exchange. Joanne, let me ask you a question. The gentleman that you hired, and I don't need to know his name or what part of town he's in, you took your car to him, and he did a bunch of, he represented that he did a bunch of testing. He represented that he thought it might be the computer, and he didn't charge you anything, and he owns a shop, or is he working out of his backyard, or is he one of the portable guys who comes to you?
No, he's a licensed shop.
Okay. All right, well, we don't have any license for the shops. But I understand. Okay. Joanne, I don't know anybody that would have done all the work necessary for free. We have to look at, and did he ask you in-depth questions at the very beginning?
Okay, now that I can't answer because my husband took the car in.
Okay, fair enough.
Not available.
That's a fair enough question. For him to come to the conclusion that it's a computer leads me to believe that he thought it was a spark or fuel, because that's the common the car dies and doesn't start back up because it's missing fuel or it's missing spark. And so everybody blames that on the computer. So I'm going to change the question. Hey, Mark, this is Joanna. How many cars do you service a year? Well, 250 times 20, 500 cars a year. 250? Yes, weeks times 20? No, that's 500 times 5, 2,500 cars a year, because I was figuring, 20 cars a day, 250 weeks, but then I have to take that times 5 because it's 5 times 20. So the answer to your question is 2 or 3,000 cars a year. Mark, how often do you replace a computer on a car? Maybe once, maybe twice a year. How many times does a car come in and that they tell you that it's been diagnosed as a computer? That happens at least once a week. So it's not a computer because you only sell two a year? Yeah, it's not the computer. Now, we're not the best shop in town, but here's the deal. We have to talk to you, Joanna, to figure out what direction to go in. And based on what you say, I think you have a battery alternator starter problem. So I would think that sometimes when it doesn't start and it cranks over very slowly, if you walk away from it and come back, it probably starts up. If you hit the key and it goes click, 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 and doesn't crank the motor over, then you have a battery problem or a bad connection. But those are quite easy to diagnose once you get the car warm. Now, we would also, if it's a fuel-related problem, we'd hook up a fuel pressure gauge to it, and we would go from there. But here's something that's a concern of mine is the battery and the alternator and the starter won't cause it to die because it once it dies, it runs out of electricity, and it isn't going to start at all. So even if you wait 10 minutes or you go have lunch and come back, it's not going to start. And when you put jumper cables on it, you're going to have to put jumper cables on it for a long time to charge it up so it has more than 9.6 volts so that it'll crank the starter over. So I think somebody needs to talk to the driver more. I think somebody needs to ask lots of questions and to focus on whether this is an electrical problem, a battery problem, a starter problem, a fuel problem, or a spark problem. And trust me, Joanna, those are just different things. And I'm quite sure a seasoned gray-haired master technician talking to you could get all that information out. Who's the primary driver on the car, you or your husband?
I am.
Okay. You need to be involved in this. You need to be involved. What part of town do you live in?
West Valley.
Okay.
Avondale.
Okay.
Did you?
I would talk to Tom at Thunderbird Auto and ask him if he wants to take a look at it. I would not have your husband in the middle of this thing. It appears that you haven't spent much money. The kids at the auto parts store, they're there to sell parts. And really and truly, the sophistication of a good battery alternator regulator test far exceeds their equipment or their skills. Because they don't even know, what the line in the sand is for this alternator or this diode pattern or the minimum voltage, the maximum voltage, the minimum amperage, the maximum amperage. They don't have that. And they don't have that skill. And for them to test the car when it's fine is kind of silly because you want to test the car when it's acting up. So, It's not worth the time to test it when it's fine. It's teach us how far do we have to drive it before it's going to drag the starter, and then we can tell you whether it's the battery or the starter or the timing's off. And if the timing's too far advanced, it'll drag the starter as well. But the diagnostic process for this is likely to be as little as 50 and as much as 150. It just depends on how in depth they've got to go. And at the end of the day, you don't hope for this, but sometimes you spend $100 to find it and $5 to fix it, but don't count on that. So when they do $100 worth of diagnostic and then they call you and they say, this is the part and this is the labor, and with the $100, it's all going to be this much money, you can then say, okay, thank you or no. So that's how I would handle it. Good luck to you, Joanna. And the only advice I want to reiterate to you is get your husband out of the middle. Because if you're the primary driver, you are the best to answer the questions. And I would say the same to your husband if the shoe were on the other foot. So I'm not belittling your husband. I'll just say this. The married partner who drives the car and experiences the problem has to be the one that talks to the shop. That's in your best interest. It's going to be cheaper that way as well. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We'll be back. Forty-three minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, every Saturday from 10 to 12, we're here talking about your car, and you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. And before we take Eric, we're going to talk about a couple of really good shops. On that north I-17 corridor, at Bell and I-17 on the northeast corner, you've got Kurtz Automotive Repair. Kurtz has been around a very long time, probably since 1986, 87. He works on domestic and foreign. He works on gas and diesel. Kurt's a master technician. Jeff is a master technician. And Eric is a master technician. And those are the three principal guys at that auto repair shop. Kurt also has a magic wand. There's been times I've sent him cars that have been very difficult, and they fixed them to the customer satisfaction. How do I know that? Because the customer will call me back and tell me. Or they'll send me an email today, and thanks for sending me to Kurt's. So it's an idea that he's really good, and if you live in that area, just try an oil change and see how you're treated. See if they instill confidence in you. Now, just up the road from them is Strictly Diesel. Strictly Diesel is a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated shop, and he has some of the best technicians in the business. They do diesel work on basically the domestic and foreign light diesel trucks. They're located just south of I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road. They have a 24-hour website that sells diesel parts and talks diesel language. So if you have a Ford, a Chevrolet, a Cummins, you can go there and look at some of the options that you can buy. But they've been around a long time, and they are on my best car repair shops list for a good reason. Nate's a good guy. And so if you have a diesel and you're having a tough time finding a good diesel shop, then Strictly Diesel up on Pinnacle Peak and I-17 is a great place. Alrighty, hey, real quick on Joanna. I object to the idea, and nothing that she or her husband did, but I object to the idea that we are going to work on your car and then we're not going to be able to tell you what's the matter with it, or we're going to tell you it's a computer and that explains why we can't fix it. I want to warn you that that's not something you should accept. For the same reason that we have tow trucks out there that are putting batteries in their car, you can't imagine how many times I've heard of a shop say, you know, funny thing about it is they took our battery out and they took it away in their tow truck. Then they put their battery in there, and then the car was dead 2 days later, and they brought it to me, and I put an alternator in it. And at the same time, they're mad because my battery that I sold them was under warranty, and they want me to give them the warranty back, but I don't have a battery to test it, and so therefore I can't really give them warranty because the tow truck driver didn't check the alternator. So, and then they take the battery that's out, and there's no forgiveness for the warranty. So if I sell you a battery and the tow truck driver puts a new battery in your car, ask them for the old battery back so I can give you a rebate. So if you use the battery for 40 months and it's really a 50-month battery, then I owe you something. So, and ask them for the old battery back so you can have somebody test it to see if it really needed it. It's just a matter of the level of equipment. That's what it is. It's the matter of the sophistication of the equipment. 80% of the repair shops that have been in business for 20 years or more, they've got what it takes to diagnose something like that. The guy that just opened up yesterday that has three whiskers on his chins, he's not likely to have the financial wherewithal to buy the necessary equipment to do the job right. But he will. He will. Alrighty, Eric, good morning. How can I help you?
Hi, I have situation I've never encountered before in driving a few cars in my life. This is a 1995 Nissan Pathfinder. It's a four-wheel drive. It has a V6 engine. Problem is that the engine runs fine. It idles fine, never dies, starts easy. When you go to drive the car, it doesn't move at all. It just doesn't perform. You step step on the accelerator pedal to the floor, it will not move. It takes a couple of blocks for it to get rolling at any kind of speed, so it's really dangerous to even cross an intersection.
Well, wait a minute. It's going to be an automatic transmission?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's kind of an easy one. We take the engine to drive the front pump on the transmission, which create and your automatic transmission is a big hydraulic pump. And we use fluid under pressure to shift it, to move it, and all that kind of stuff. How many miles are on the Pathfinder?
213,000.
Has that ever had transmission work?
I don't know. It's a strange situation. I got the car from a friend because our car wouldn't pass emissions. We got rid of it, so this is like a loaner car.
Okay.
And I just replaced the exhaust manifold gasket on one side because it was blown. That's why the car was taken out of service in the first place, because it was a big job. I made my own tools to do that.
All right. Well, it has a transmission problem. There's no question about that. So after you warm the fluid up, then, you know, it'll move. But if you put it in drive and you feel it at least kind of clunk to drive, or if you rev the heck out of it and it kind of goes forward or kind of goes backwards, then the transmission is losing pressure, or there is no pressure, or it's got a big internal leak inside, then the pressure's not going where it's supposed to, or the torque converter, which is supposed to convert the torque from the engine into hydraulic pressure, and then the hydraulic pressure makes the transmission work. One way or another, somebody has to go in and check the pressure, check the signal, make sure the park neutral switch is good, and make sure when you put it in drive that you really do put it into drive, and pull the oil pan, and if you find a whole bunch of clutch material in there and a couple of snap rings and a whole bunch of broken parts, then it needs a transmission. The question is you can put a used one in there, but I certainly wouldn't put a used one that had 200,000 miles on it. Or you can have somebody go in and just fix the problem, or you can have somebody rebuild the transmission and hope like heck it lasts another 230. But I want to tell you, it's if this is the original transmission at 230, it's 100,000 miles past where it should have been. So, and of course, you and I don't know that, but it has a transmission problem, and, you know, once it warms up, if this has a bad seal, the seal, as you warm the seal up, it will return some pliability to the seal, and the seal may be able to capture and contain the pressure, which then allows you to move it slightly.
When I drive in, I start off in low. I tried doing that. I started in low. It has a great lag and acceleration also, but it'll rev up to 3,000-4,000, and then I'll move to drive 2, and it'll get going down the road. But it takes so long to get moving, so I figured it was a transmission.
Yeah, it's a pressure problem, or it could be the clutches are slipping. Now we use hydraulic pressure to open and close the clutch packs, and so
I noticed in reverse it's very weak. It moves a little bit, and then it just revs. Okay. It won't go. So I know that's slipping.
Okay, all the symptoms indicate that we're going to have to take it out and take it apart. So, I mean, this is going to be something. This is not going to be a $300 or $400 or $500 job. I promise you that.
I understand.
Yeah. All righty?
Okay, thanks for your suggestion.
All right. Good luck, Eric. Good luck. You know, in my world, we oftentimes run across. I remember a guy not too long ago that got really mad at me because I wouldn't let him dictate what parts to put in his car. He wanted Ford parts and Motorcraft parts. Folks, there is a factory from Ford, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, Mercedes-Benz, and BMW. There are factories that assemble the car, but all the parts come from Indonesia, China, Japan, South America, Mexico. The parts are built by the cheapest and the least expensive vendor. So it's built by the lowest bidder. Now, there's some parts that are better than others, but don't think for a minute that I can't buy a Motorcraft part cheaper without a Motorcraft box. That happens every day. Another portion of the same equation is we have all this different oil. There is no such place as a place that manufactures Motorcraft oil or the GM oil or lots of other oils. The fact of the matter is in the United States, the only people that pull oil out of the ground and then make it oil to put in our cars is Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, and Chevron. You didn't hear Castrol, Valvoline, Quaker State, Motorcraft, Honda, Toyota. You didn't hear that, did you? These are the only companies that pull oil out of the ground and make it into oil that we use in our cars. Mobil, Shell, Phillips 66, and Chevron. Those guys make everybody else's oil. It's no different than, since 2010, every Ford truck out there has Hitachi Rotating Electrical and Denso some electronic components for the computer, controls for the computers. The belts and hoses aren't made by Motorcraft or Ford. They're made by Continental or Goodyear. The Bendix, there's no such thing as a Motorcraft brake pad. Those are the pads you got on your 2010 Ford are going to be from Bendix, and that's an aftermarket company. So there are times that we have a part over here that comes in a box, and that part might be $300. The exact same part in another box could be half price. Not always. I said could be. So it's a good idea to let your shop, because they're going to warranty the part. And frankly, there are shops out there, and I don't know that I really blame them, but if you want a part from in the box of your car, you're going to pay a premium for it. And you're going to have a problem with warranty because there's now two people involved. And as a result of that, the first one may say, hey, you know, you're a week out. And the second guy goes, well, can you help me on this? And he says, no. Well, I gave them a year warranty and they're only a week out. I know, I only gave you a year warranty. So you don't have the flexibility to give them a week after a year. So in the aftermarket, if I spend $30,000 a month with a parts vendor, he's not going to lose my business because your part is a week out of warranty. A year out of warranty, we may discuss it. And we may come back to the customer and say, let's negotiate an end to this. So if you'll pay for the part, then we're going to give you a significant discount on the labor or something like that. So those are the kinds of things. And that's providing that you've been a customer of mine or ours for a while. But if this is the first time you're in and you bought the air conditioning compressor in Omaha and now you want it warrantied in Phoenix and I didn't make the money on the compressor and I didn't make the money on the warranty on that sale, then it's not likely I'm going to be able to extend your warranty a week. But if it's a vendor that I use, I can ask. And sometimes they'll say, Mark, are you going to use a favor for this? I say, yeah, they moved into my geographical area, and I think I'm going to keep them as a customer. So if you'll let me be a hero this time, I'll share in the responsibility. I'll share in the cost associated with putting this customer back together. Sometimes the answer is no. So it just depends. So there are a lot of parts out there, automotive parts out there, and I can assure you that most of us are working really hard to get you the best part at the least amount of money. So there's lots and lots of parts out there. And then there are parts that truly only come in a Honda, Toyota, Chevrolet, Ford, or Chrysler box. The aftermarket says that there's such a small amount of those parts. There's such a small amount of those cars. There's such a small amount that, you know, we're not gonna make any more. So it's really a matter of popularity, and it's really a matter of how many cars of that are on the road. But be cautious when it comes to taking the advice of someone at a repair shop who couldn't find the problem, but he wants to tell you what it is. Because if you could find the problem, then you could fix the problem. But if you can't find the problem, I'm certainly not going to hand you the steering wheel to my checkbook and tell me what to go have done. And then if it doesn't fix the problem, what are we going to do then? And maybe the shop owner says, well, I told you it was a guess.
2 minutes.
So it's really important to hold your shop's feet to the fire. I practice what I preach. I've been doing radio since 1988. I'm a master technician for the last 25 or 30 years. I frankly don't remember. I have lots of master techs that work for me. I think I have 7. But there's shops all over the valley you can find on our website, marksalem.com, that I want to send you to. If you're geographically close to 25th Street and Indian School, I'm going to send you to 25th Street Auto. If you're I-17 and Bell, I'm going to send you to Action or Kurtz. So I'm going to move it around, but I'm going to try to geographically. Now, it's important for you to know, I think it's important for you to know, and I want to tell you, there's no money that changes hands. In our industry, there's a thing called a bird dog fee. So if I refer somebody to some other shop, usually he'll spiff me. I don't take that. I just get the joy out of sending you to a shop, and then I get the joy out of you calling me back or sending me an email and telling me you had a really good experience. That's all I need. So I've been blessed in so many ways. When I get up to heaven, I'm going to say, how come me? And I hope he smiles and tells me the truth, because there's times that my actions and thoughts don't necessarily mimic the blessings that I've been getting. But then again, Maybe he sees something in me that I don't see in myself. But from the bottom of my heart, pay attention to your repair shop. Ask for your old parts back. Ask them about that really great question, what symptom are you going to fix with your suggested repair? And the suggested repair is something they gave you that's unrelated to what you went in for. You went in for an oil change, and now you need lower control arm bushings. What symptom do I have today that you're going to fix with your $400 lower control arm bushings? They better have a good answer. They better have a symptom that you know you already have. Mark@MarkSalem.com is my email address, mark@MarkSalem.com. I'll see you next Saturday right here.